Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing. This is James Bell here, the host of the Boxing Source Radio Show here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on queue. Be able to talk live on the show. We are, you know, here on a Monday this week instead of Sunday. Pretty much been a busy weekend for me, so really couldn't pull off a Sunday show. So pretty much push it back to Monday, and we'll be getting into the boxing talk here in a few moments. Just going to run through a couple of commercials. You're listening into the Boxing Source Radio Show on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch the callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up.
You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcast Network. Better than diamond ring. That's why
we're here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
Yo, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? We're back here on the Boxing Source Radio Show on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Number to dial in, 347-237-5539. Once again, it's 347-237-5539. You'll be able to get on cue to talk live on the show. We just had a commercial for the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. That's on Wednesday night. Here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel, we had the first show last week, so we'll be getting started with the football season here and getting through with the talk, but we may have to come up with a new commercial. That was pretty much for last season. We're getting into the Boston talk here right now. Actually, we got a caller in live, area code 609. What's going on with you? What's your name and tell me where you're calling from?
What's going on, brother? It's Richie Q from New Jersey, man. So good to hear from you, man. One boxing head to another. How's it going?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just here in the DMV area talking about boxing, you know, having this weekly show is usually on Sundays, but I just put it off to Monday this week. So pretty much I get into it. We had, you know, Premier Boxing Champions yesterday with the event there with Errol Spence Jr. taking on Leonard Boundou. And, you know, was a showcase between those two that was for the number one contendership of the IBF Welterweight Championship. And we pretty much saw Errol Spence Jr. Go to work against Leonard Boundou, scoring the KO victory against Boundou there in round six there for the Welterweight title eliminator. Pretty much like open the floor usually when I have callers in. So if you're able to catch the fight and you want to do a quick review, you can go right ahead.
Yeah, listen, he's a beast. He's going to be nasty. He's going to be nasty at 147. I just thought the way he worked through that fight, methodical approach, didn't hit a road bump, landed clean shots. It was almost like a matter of time. He was patient throughout, never wavered. And I tell you, you know, to go in there, I thought people were going to criticize him if he didn't try to finish off Boundou, who's a durable opponent. And the fact that he was able to stop him, the fashion in which he stopped him, stuck to that game plan with those body shots as well, they added up. Look, man, he's a beast. He's a beast. And I know all of a sudden people are talking about 147 and Thurman and Porter, and if you want to throw Brook in there as well. But, you know, you got to factor in right now he's 176. I mean, to me, Spence with that knockout power, I'm not going to crown him right now. I would love to see him fight Keith Thurman. I don't think that's going to happen at this moment. But, you know, Spence, to me, is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. He, you know, pretty much had these good performances, you know, not only against, you know, the likes of Leonard Boundou here, but, you know, also against Chris Algieri and Chris Van Heerden in his previous fight. So he's had, you know, a string of knockouts and technical knockouts over his previous six or seven fights. And here with Leonard Boundou, I mean, Boundou, you know, came into the ring there, you know, gave him different looks here and there, of course. He challenged Keith Thurman for the interim WBA welterweight championship at one point. And that was his first loss there to Keith Thurman by decision.
Yeah, but Thurman,
Here,
Thurman couldn't get him out of there.
Yeah, he couldn't get him out of there. But here with, you know, Errol Spence Jr., Errol Spence pretty much, you know, had his game plan from round one, you know, worked the jab a little bit, worked his jab and, you know, worked the body early and often. And pretty much when he came into close quarters, he was able to score well with the body to hurt Leonard Boundou there. And then in the sixth round, he pretty much scored. Well, he could have scored a knockdown, but I don't think the referee scored it as a knockdown earlier in round six.
Yeah.
But then he had that thing there where he was able to get Leonard Boundou to the ropes, and then he just finished them off with a, you know, a vicious right hand that basically folded Boundou there on the canvas to stop the fight for a KO victory for Errol Spence Jr. And, yeah, it's like you said, man, you know, he's pretty much one of the, you know, hottest commodities there in the welterweight division. That's pretty stacked there with, you know, the likes of Kell Brook, Keith Thurman, and Danny Garcia, among others. Yeah, I would like to see him against Keith Thurman, but I think that's going to be a little bit ways down the road. In reference to Keith Thurman, he may, if he has one fight this year, he'll probably face the mandatory. Just get that out of the way against David Avanesian. And then in 2017, try to have a unification fight put together between him and Danny Garcia there for either, you know, Premier Boxing Champions or have it be Showtime. So I think Keith Thurman is trying to look for, you know, I would say bigger and better things, and I guess one of them is not fighting Errol Spence at this point.
Honestly, I don't think he wants to fight Spence. And again, I'm not, you know, you're down in the DMV, so I interviewed a lot of the guys in your area, but I've spoken to Keith before. He basically came out and said, look, man, Spence is a good fighter, but he's still a young guy, and he's got to earn it a little. I don't care how you slice it or dice it. If Errol Spence didn't have that sensational knockout yesterday, against an orthodox fighter, people are going to call up. They're going to start talking about, you know, This guy's all hype. He couldn't put out this guy. So he was kind of in a no-win situation. The fact that he was so emphatic with that knockout, I think that opened up a ton of eyes. And you mentioned Thurman and Danny Garcia. The problem with Diaz, no matter what, he's such an enigma. I mean, he just you can't figure the guy out. You can't. I mean, I go back to the Herrera fight. I thought he lost that fight. I don't like to say guys are tough guys, but it just seems as though they do handpick him. He always defers to Heyman, saying, well, he puts the fights together. You know, in this one, I side with Keith Thurman. If you're Danny Garcia, guess what? Sign the contract. Do it right now. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing here real quick was Danny Garcia. I mean, to me, he doesn't do anything great. He does a lot of things good, but he doesn't do anything great. So I kind of like rate him as like a B or a B-plus fighter, mainly because of the guys that he's faced and he's been able to defeat. Now, like you said, he had that thing there where he lost against Herrera, and also he had that fight against Lamont Peterson. It was very debatable if he won that fight as well.
And then the other one, Sokka. I mean, come on, you know that.
Yeah. Guerrero,
Paulie Malignaggi, yeah.
Yeah, well, Paulie Malignaggi was his first fight at welterweight, so he was pretty much able to get through that fight, and then WBC title chance against Robert Guerrero. That Matisse fight,
I really thought
going into that fight, he was going to lose that fight. And he was able to weather the storm in that one, too.
Listen, you're dead on, man. He showed hard in that fight. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the guy you saw, like you mentioned, you know, Herrera, to me, that fight he lost. That fight was in. He won, but he lost. Because that fight was in Bahamas, Puerto Rico. Then he follows up with Salk. Everyone was going to knock him out. The Peterson fight, Paulie would adore already in retirement. You know, a guy in Guerrero that has nothing left. I mean, man, he's got it. You know, he's just a guy, and he gets a lot of flack, too, in our backyard. People want to see him start stepping up and taking on somebody's class A opponents. I know Crawford called him out, so, you know, we'll see how it plays out with that.
Well, with that, I mean, I'm not sure how that's going to play out. I mean, I've heard that. You know, Top Rank and, you know, Al Heyman with PBC are trying to work things out after the whole lawsuit thing kind of like cleared up a little bit. So they may be trying to, you know, work a few things together. I'm not sure if Danny Garcia, Terrence Crawford fight is in the works soon. But, you know, I've been waiting on to see if they were going to make official the Danny Garcia defense against Andre Berto. They were talking about that being on September 23rd over at the Barclays Center, and I'm just, like, waiting on it to say, okay, announce it so I can go ahead and go. But they haven't done that quite yet. So, you know, it's kind of like put me at a little dilemma there for that weekend. But going back to, you know, Errol Spence there, with him moving up to basically the number one contendership of the IBF welterweight championship, and he's also – you know, they're at the WBO rankings at number 3 and also number 4 in WBA, but they're looking towards that, you know, IBF welterweight title shot. And we all know about Kell Brook going up in weight to fight Gennady Golovkin on September 10th there in England. But, I mean, I think that, you know, Kell Brook he didn't look like he had intentions of, you know, staying there at 147 to defend his belt against Errol Spence Jr. And
no, not at
all. What was really interesting was that initially, like pretty much at the beginning of the year, we were thinking that there was going to be a title unification fight between Kell Brook and Jesse Vargas. And that fell through. And then now all of a sudden, Kell Brook is fighting Gennady Golovkin. So it was like, you know, that basically came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he's not going to bust it from 176 to drop down and lead. And that's his reward to take on Spence. Nah, man, that's not the smart play. You know, that's not the smart play at all, especially 30-day weigh-in. You're not coming back down to 147. You're going to have to bust in and make that weight, and then you see the skin in front of you. Nah, I don't think it's happening. But, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to hold you. I'm sure you got some calls, but I had one of your guys on down at the DMV. probably a kid you follow a lot, Mike Reed. Yes, indeed, Reed from Top Rank.
All right, yeah. I'll be able to see if I could, you know, catch up with them and see if I can get them on the show and whatnot. But, the DMV is like a hotbed for boxing. A lot of, you know, training facilities out here and everything like that. I mean, I can put you back on mute if you want to, like, listen to the show here over the phone, or you could just basically go online.
I got you tuned in, man. I'm doing all my notes. Yeah, I'm doing all the rest of my notes for the week. I got you locked on and tuned in, man. So I enjoy it, man. Keep up the great work.
All right, no doubt. All right, yeah, so basically, you know, getting back into this thing here with Errol Spence Jr. defeating Leonard Boudou. Putting this on Premier Boxing Champions on a Sunday, you know, basically after, you know, the whole Olympics thing was, you know, winding down to a close, basically had the closing ceremonies that were going to be happening after that. You know, last major event they had there for the Olympics was the U.S. basketball team winning the gold medal. Kind of like, you know, try to get more of those, you know, casual floating eyes to see Errol Spence Jr. there in action so that, you know, more and more people will try to figure out, you know, who is the, you know, guy out there that people are, you know, talking about, you know, that's not necessarily a champion, but, you know, has this, such a high pedigree in the sport. And so putting Errol Spence out there for, you know, wandering eyes to check out was a good move by, Al Heyman and the managers out there and promoters working with Premier Boxing Champions. And so we're going to see what's going on with Errol Spence Jr. here. He's a, you know, fairly active fighter. You know, he's had, you know, a good amount of fights here. He's, you know, 21 fights in. His debut was in 2012. So he's had, you know, about 5 or 6 fights per year. This is, you know, one of those times where it's a rarity that he, you know, had a 4-month layoff. So, you know, from here in his previous fight. So he's going to see if he could try to, you know, get one more fight in. I don't think it'll be, you know, for the IBFL because of the September 10th matchup between the current IBF welterweight champion Kell Brook and the unified middleweight champion Gennady Golovkin happening over in England. I think they'll probably see if he could, you know, get like a tune-up bout, you know, here and there and see if that'll just keep him fresh for a upcoming fight between him and maybe Kell Brook, or if Kell Brook, you know, drops his IBF belt, probably have a vacant IBF title matchup between him and the highest ranked contender there for the International Boxing Federation. Real quick, you want to dial in to talk boxing here. It's area code 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press 1 key to get on cue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Before, you know, I get into the notable Olympic results that happened that closed down over the weekend, I was going to, you know, get into it real quick there. With the upcoming schedule here in the next couple of weeks, we do have going on tomorrow PBC on Fox Sports 1 over at Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Main event is Caleb Plant versus Wanda Angel. There's going to be a 10-round fight at the super middleweight division, and then they'll probably have Kareem Martin and David Grayton on as a co-feature there on Fox Sports 1, so be able to, you know, check that out. And as the previous caller mentioned, one of the fighters, Robert the Ghost Guerrero, he will be in a fight here August 27th on Spike TV at Anaheim, California against David Peralta. It's a 12-round fight at the welterweight division. It's probably going to be, you know, one of those crossroads fights that Robert Guerrero will have there, as he's, you know, been basically up and down in the previous few fights in his career. Of course, he's had, you know, the loss to Floyd Mayweather Jr., then had a decision win over Yoshihiro Kamagai, and then, you know, for the WBA welterweight championship, he lost to Keith Thurman, and then a split decision win over Aaron Martinez, which many people thought he lost that fight. And then back again fighting for a welterweight championship, the WBC welterweight championship, losing against Danny Garcia in January of this year. So here he's going up against David Peralta over in Anaheim, California. Like I said, it may be a trap fight for David Guerrero, as, you know, I mean, Robert Guerrero, as, you know, he's trying to get back into the title scene. As a co-feature, they're also going to have the notable fighter there, Alfredo Angulo, going up against Freddy Hernandez in the 10-round fight. They have this at super middleweight, so they're having Alfredo Angulo, you know, pretty much going up in weight. We kind of like known him being over there at the middleweight division for a little bit there, and also the super welterweight division, most notably. As he's had fights against James Kirkland, Arizona Lara, and of course Canelo Alvarez. He's, you know, around there at 24-5. He's pretty much lost most of his notable fights that he's, you know, had here over his career. One notable win that he has is against Gabe Rosado, but he's going up here against a veteran here, Freddy Hernandez, that's there at 33 wins and 8 losses there. So that's going to be the co-feature there on August 27th. Looking forward there, you know, past the end of this month and going into September, we do have the Labor Day weekend. There'll be, you know, a few fights out there that are in various sports networks, Acela TV, BN Sports, Espanol. And also there'll be a Premier Boxing Champions telecast is going to be at San Antonio on September 3rd. So be on the lookout for that one. September 4th, we're going to have another notable title fight going on, as Noriega Inoue will be facing Petr Pocate Jim. I'm not saying the whole name of his opponent. It'll be for Inoue's WBO Junior Bantamweight Championship. Inoue only has like basically a few fights, you know, in his belt. You know, about like 10 or 11 fights on his belt, but he already has the WBO Junior Bantamweight Championship. A few fight publications have Inoue as the number one guy in the Junior Bantamweight division, 115 pounds. And they have like a few pretty good fighters out there in the Junior Bantamweight division, including Kohei Kono, who's the WBA champ, and Miguel Arroyo, who is the IBF champ. But notably on the other side, that is the WBC champion, is Carlos Quadras. And Carlos Quadras will be defending his WBC championship later on this year against Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez. That's going to be one of the notable fights closing out the 2016 season. So, well, you know, we look at Inoue, let's see if there's, you know, a way that you could catch that fight somehow, some way, or, you know, basically get results out of that. May look forward to Inoue facing either Carlos Quadras or Chocolatito Gonzalez, probably in 2017. Of course, we're going into, you know, September 9th. That's a Friday. And on September 9th, we have two title fights going on, co-feature that's going to be on Spike TV is Richard Comey against Robert Easter Jr. For the vacant IBF lightweight championship there. You have Robert Easter Jr., you know, one of the notable fighters that, you know, that we've seen here over in the DMV, you know, recently, as he's, you know, basically fighting out of Toledo, Ohio, but he had a TKO win here in the D.C. Armory on April 1st as part of the undercard for Adrian Broner's fight that he had here in the D.C. Armory, where it was basically, you know, really, 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 I would say it was hot there, to say the least. So that's one of the fights that, you know, a lot of people around, you know, the Toledo, Ohio area, Pennsylvania, and others are looking forward to between two undefeated guys. Easter is there at 17-0, and Richard Comey is there at 24-0 for the vacant IBF World Championship. And the main event that's going to be there at Reading, Pennsylvania, will be Daniel Jacobs in a rematch against Sergio Mora for the regular middleweight championship in the WBA. Of course, he had, you know, those guys basically scrapping it out. You know, Daniel Jacobs was able to score a knockdown in the first round. And then as a response, when, you know, Jacobs was trying to, you know, build on that momentum and then came forward there against Sergio Mora, he ended up getting caught and got dropped there in the first round. And then, you know, in the second round, Sergio Mora suffered that leg injury and it ended up being a TKO victory for Daniel Jacobs there. So he was able to retain the WBA regular middleweight championship and defend it once against Peter Quillen, you know, with that quick knockout victory that he scored. And now it's a rematch here against Sergio Mora there for that WBA regular middleweight championship. And then the next day, September 10th, we have the WBA super, quote-unquote super middleweight champion. That's also the WBC and IBF middleweight champion. Eli Golovkin defends his middleweight championships against Kell Brook there. And, of course, we've been touching on that multiple times here on this show there. As this, I mean, to me, it's a definite mismatch there between somebody that has been used to the middleweight division pretty much his entire career in comparison to a guy that fights at welterweight. It's going to be different than fighting a guy that's middleweight. It's a different man, different type of punch, and all of that. So it's going to be, you know, Kell Brook pretty much trying to deal with a middleweight punch and pretty much a middleweight that's been there his entire career, has not lost a fight in his middleweight career, has, you know, collected belts over the course of his career, and has faced actual middleweight in his career. So he knows how to, you know, do his thing in the ring. Has an extensive pedigree, of course, we know, of his amateur background and, you know, what he did there in the amateurs and going up here, pretty much not losing a fight here in his professional career. So we have, like I said, we have Gennady Golovkin against Kell Brook there for those middleweight championships. And like I mentioned before, on HBO, not only Gennady Golovkin and Kell Brook will be on HBO, but later on HBO, you'll also have Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez facing Carlos Quadros for Quadros' WBC Junior Bantamweight Championship. So be on the lookout for that get on to HBO Sports to check those fights out. And we'll also have later on in HBO September 17th on HBO pay-per-view, Liam Smith versus Saul Canelo Alvarez for the junior middleweight championship that Liam Smith has. And as a undercard, you have J.D. Brizzato versus Willie Monroe Jr. So have a lot of things coming up on the month of September. Just got to, you know, get through the last few things here on, you know, the month of August. So, you know, be on the lookout for all of those. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539, 347-237-5539. Just going to go through another here quick break, and then we'll get right back at it with the Boxing Source Radio Show on the MRN Broadcasting Channel on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. I just wanted to take some time to tell you about Pest Bear, a wonderful company. They've been around for 20-plus years. They have over 11 branches in Florida. Great licensed, certified specialists, and guess what? They do more than pest control. They also take care of termites as well as lawn care, sprinkler systems, and much, much more. Call today, 1-800-PESTBEAR. That's 1-800-737-8232.
WCSB Sports and MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
All right, here, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? We are back here live on the MRN Broadcasting Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. Number to dial is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. All right, we are basically back into it here. And, you know, I just wanted to touch a little bit on the boxing here. As, you know, we had like a couple of, you know, we had a few things going on there with the sport of boxing. Of course, some of you know about the things going on that happened over the course of the boxing competitions, as you know, he had a few controversial decisions, to say the least, there in these you know, kind of raised the ire of the, you know, people watching the sport there in the Olympics. And thinking, like, you know, kind of like, you know, had a left like a little bit of a bad taste in some people's mouths in reference to the overall, to the sport of boxing. But I mean, this is nothing, you know, new. I would say new under the sun when it comes to the sport. We've known about bad decisions in the Olympics before. We've seen it numerous times with a lot of who are now known as notable fighters that are in the sport. You know, we had, you know, Roy Jones Jr., you had Floyd Mayweather Jr., and you have, you know, Evander Holyfield as a few of those notable bad decisions that happened. That Evander Holyfield one is pretty much one that sticks out, because that one was just clearly a bad decision made there. But and the other thing about the Olympic boxing is you had like a few guys out there that were professionals that, you know, tried their luck at trying to get a gold medal. One of them was, you know, Hassan Ndamukong that was out there. But that didn't, you know, necessarily, you know, pan out too well for him. But in reference to the American guys out there, we had, you know, a couple of guys that, you know, ended up meddling there. You had Nico Hernandez there at light flyweight there, getting a bronze medal. And one person that, you know, got like a lot of, you know, attention going into the Olympics and during the Olympics was Shakur Stevenson. And Shakur Stevenson, it was pretty much, you know, able to get to the gold medal round there in the finals, going up against Ramirez Carazana there. And it was a very, very close scrap there between those two. And, you know, pretty much near the end, Robesi Carazana was able to get the decision victory over Shakur Stevenson. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about Shakur Stevenson because of the attention that he was getting from Floyd Mayweather during the course of the Olympics. And a lot of people, you know, seen him with Floyd Mayweather during that time. And a lot of people were, you know, talking about or thinking about seeing if he, you know, actually signed there with Floyd Mayweather there. But, you know, there's a recent, you know, article that was pushed out here through BoxingScene.com. And he was saying that, you know, he's going to, you know, basically turn pro. But he's saying he's at the moment a free agent. So he doesn't, you know, necessarily sign with anybody as of yet. You know, they're trying to get in, you know, as a professional fighter and see what he's going to be able to do there around, near or around the welterweight division, which is what, you know, he was basically fighting at here in the Olympics. So there with Shakur Stevenson, you know, while he wasn't, you know, able to get the gold medal there in this Olympics, he's going to basically move on and be a professional fighter. The other notable person that was there at the 2016 Olympics was the 2012 gold medalist Clarissa Shields up there at the middleweight division. Pretty much was the, you know, notable favorite in that division to get the gold medal. And she was able to go into the finals there against Nuska Fongen out of the Netherlands. And she was she was able to score the victory there against her. And, you know, with that, she is able to repeat from, you know, repeat as the gold medal winner. Of course, she, you know, won the first gold medal there at London. And so, and scored the shutout victory here on yesterday afternoon there. But, you know, and she is the first American boxer to win back-to-back gold medals there at the Olympic Games, which is, you know, one of the historic moments out, you know, in the sport of boxing, Olympic boxing. And you know, with that, she's probably going to, you know, continue there pretty much at that division. Now, she is 21 years old, and, you know, there's, like, hints that she might stay there and be involved in the 2020 Olympics. That is going to be, you know, pretty much a outside chance that she'll, you know, make it to the 2020 Olympics. The United States Olympic team, you know, it's pretty much like optimistic and seeing if she's going to be able to do it. She'll be 25 years old at that time, but, you know, depending on how much attention she gets, you know, coming off this, you know, win to get this gold medal, then we'll be able to see if she'll be able to, you know, end up turning pro or just return to the amateurs and then work towards being the one that gets a third gold medal there. I mean, she basically stated there after a win that, you know, she's like letting people know out there that, you know, that she's not just a great female boxer, but she's one of the greatest boxers to ever live. So she's trying to, you know, cement a legacy as, you know, somebody that, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later and so on and so forth as one of the, you know, greatest boxers out there. I mean, of course, you have, you know, the likes of Ann Wolf, Layla Ali out there as notable boxers there in women's boxing. But Clarissa Shields wants to be the one that kind of like stands above all of those fighters there in women's boxing. And, you know, getting this second gold medal is another step towards, you know, once again, you know, we had Clarissa Shields there winning the gold medal once again, as she won it during the 2012 Olympic Games at the age of 17. And now here at the age of 21, winning another Olympic gold medal. All right, just letting you know real quick, we got like, I would say, another 15 minutes or so left in the show. Area code is 347, number to dial is 237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on Q. You'll be able to get in live on the show. Just see if we'll pretty much get back into the boxing news here. As I'm checking boxing scene, it seems like we have recent news coming out of Steve Kim here. As we have an update on the IBF Heavyweight Championship, as champion Anthony Joshua has the number one contender right below him, Joseph Parker, as Joseph Parker won his fight against Carlos Takam to get that number one spot. And we knew that the number one contender would probably get that shot to go for the IBF Heavyweight Championship within a year's time. A lot of people were expecting it sometime in 2017. We get this news here from Steve Kim that the Joseph Parker Anthony Joshua matchup will be ordered on November 9th. On the 9th, the IBF chairman, Lindsey Tucker, says that Joshua will have to start negotiating with Parker to actually exercise that mandatory. And then they have that 30-day deal to try to get a contract done from November 9th. So, you know, from November 9th to pretty much like December 7th, December 10th will be the deadline for Parker's team and Joshua's team to get a deal made. And if they can't, then they'll go to a first bid. This is with, you know, the notion or the note that, you know, Anthony Joshua has to defend his title against Parker no later than January 19th of next year. You know, in the meantime, they have Joseph Parker. He's scheduled to face Dimitrenko on October 1st. And so that would be fairly interesting to see if, you know, Parker is able to, you know, get this fight in against Dimitrenko on October 1st and then turn around and be in negotiations for this IBF heavyweight championship fight against Anthony Joshua. I think that, I mean, if this does go through, I probably would say that you would see this as probably one of the first fights in 2017. I think it'll be that first Saturday of 2017 that, you know, will be happening. So I would say look for that Joshua Parker fight to be that first Saturday of 2017. I would say other news here, as we were talking about Kell Brook and Errol Spence, you know, it's basically, they're basically waiting on, you know, what Brook is going to do after September 10th. They say that he has 10 days to make a decision to stay at middleweight or come back to welterweight. If he's able to score the win against Gennady Golovkin on September 10th, if not, if he doesn't win there by October 26th. He will have to start to negotiate with Errol Spence in order to make that fight happen. Pretty much say that, you know, you might as well just wait until October 26th and just say, hey, just give us the IBF welterweight belt, because I still don't feel that Kell Brook is going to end up fighting Errol Spence for that IBF belt. So, you know, once that fight happens between Brook and Gennady Golovkin, you know, you'll pretty much see that he probably will just end up giving up the belt. Just seeing here if there's like any more news. Like I said, you know, that pay-per-view fight between Canelo and Liam Smith, it'll have the, you know, have a pretty interesting undercard fight, as in middleweight, you'll have Gabe Rosado going one-on-one with Willie Monroe Jr. And, you know, these are, you know, two guys that are, you know, floating around there in the middleweight division. You know, Gabe Rosado, I would say, is, you know, kind of floating there in the WBO rankings. And I'm checking here. He's also in the WBC rankings still. And I think that's pretty much it. Willie Monroe Jr., is there in the WBO rankings as well. So, I think here with this one, this is kind of a matchup to try to get these guys, you know, pretty much up in the ranks in the WBO middleweight rankings there, where Billy Joe Saunders is the defending champion. And, you know, if either one of them wins, they'll pretty much get, you know, higher ranking in the WBO. But, you know, Billy Joe Saunders doesn't even, you know, feel like he wants to fight anybody here in 2016. So even if, you know, either one of these guys wins, they probably won't get a fight, you know, at the end of the year against Billy Joe Saunders. He'll probably just, you know, sit out the whole 2016. I'm not sure what the WBO rules are for their belts, you know, not being able to defend the belt after pretty much a whole year, but it may end up being like that for Billy Joe Saunders. But in the meantime, September 17th, as the, you know, co-feature there for that HBO pay-per-view event in Cowboy Stadium in Arlington, Texas, Gabe Rosado versus Willie Monroe Jr. So be on the lookout for that. Also, I kind of like didn't mention this here on September 17th. Over in Poland, you have the Cruiserweight Championship on the line there as Krzysztof Głowacki goes up against Aleksander Usyk for Głowacki's Cruiserweight Championship. Of course, you know, Głowacki had one of the knockouts of the year at one point on Premier Boxing Champions when he defeated Marco Huck in 2015. That was pretty much a knockout of the year. And then after that, defended his title against Steve USS Cunningham. And so now here he goes up against Aleksander Usyk for the WBO Cruiserweight Championship. Usyk is, you know, pretty much a fairly notable fighter. He's already, like, rated as one of the highly ranked, you know, highest ranked cruiserweights in the world, even in through, you know, 9 fights. And so, I mean, he won the Intercontinental Cruiserweight Championship of the WBO in his 5th fight against Daniel Brewer. And you know, after that fight, he's, you know, fought, you know, a few other guys for the WBO Intercontinental Cruiserweight Championship and scored TKO victory. So this is going to be a, you know, pretty notable fight here between Głowacki and Aleksander Usyk. There, this Ukrainian boxer there. So trying to get the overall background of Usyk because, you know, for him to, you know, get this fight here after a few, you know, after a few fights professionally, he also, he, you know, won the gold medal in the London games and also has 2 other golds in championships, 2008 European Championships in light heavyweight and 2011 World Championships at heavyweight. He won a gold medal and also has 2 bronze medals to his credit. But, you know, he's coming in there as a cruiserweight, and it kind of looks like he's, you know, like these, you know, a lot of these guys that are coming from Eastern Europe, they have these, you know, pretty much stellar amateur backgrounds, such as, you know, Gennady Golovkin, Vasyl Lomachenko, and also Artur Beterbiev is, you know, a few of those guys that are notable that have those notable amateur backgrounds, very successful in the Olympics, that have come into the professional ranks and, you know, really, you know, done damage very early in their professional careers. And so it looks like Usyk may be another one of those guys here going up against Chris Hofbauer. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. On that note, I'm going to actually try to close things out here. We're going to have the same regular schedule on Sunday night here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel. For the schedule here for MRN Broadcasting, tomorrow we're going to have the Cold Hard Truth on Sports with Matthew Long on 8:30 p.m. That's Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Cold Hard Truth on and said the Cold Hard Truth there be pretty much will go through, you know, every sport, you know, topics from every sport, football, basketball, baseball, and so on and so forth. And then on Wednesday nights, we have the CMT Firestone Football Talk Show with host Michael Brewer, pretty much starting it, you know, starting up back again. Be the second show of the season, so be sure to catch that Wednesday at 8:30 p.m., all right? So here, pretty much closing it out, like I say, at the end of every show, cornerboxing is a hit, not get hit, not the send and trade. And I'm out. Thanks.